Welcome to Spotlight on Maryland. It's Reagan and Bethany. For 70 years, the ARC Baltimore has been supporting people with intellectual disabilities in all aspects of their lives. Today, we're joined by their Director of Communications and Grants, Chris Norline, Development Manager, Leah Lovelace, and Director of Business Services, Kimberly Scroggins, who will talk about the mission of the ARC, as well as every other aspect of the organization. So we'll start with Chris. Chris, tell us all about what the ARC Baltimore is and what you all do.
Sure. Thanks for having us on this morning. The ARC, like you said, has been around for about 70 years, and it started with a group of parents who had young children with intellectual and developmental disabilities, and they wanted more for their children. And knowing that as they got older, they would need even more services as they left their homes. So the ARC is here for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, autism, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, epilepsy, etc., and their families, and provide a wide array of services so that we can support people at their home, in the community, at work, and help them to lead meaningful lives, empower them to find meaningful employment, and get engaged in their communities.
So the services you mentioned, what are those?
Right. So we roughly serve about 1,500 people on a daily basis, and that's everything from supporting someone at their home, and that could be a variety of different ways. It could be 24/7 support where they're living with a couple roommates that need a lot of staffing support needs. It could be someone that has their own apartment, they own their own home, and they need a little bit of assistance out in the community. And then it could be an instance where we also support someone at their family home. So they're living potentially with elderly parents, and they may be in their 50s and 60s themselves, and we provide drop-in support to sort of supplement for the parents. We also support about 1,000 people, roughly, in day-in employment. And half of those people are supported through day services. So it might be at a day center where ideally that's just the hub, and they're in there in the morning, and then they are out and about engaging with friends, going to the movies, going to museums, volunteering, possibly working part time. So the idea is that every person has their own individual meaningful week. And that looks different for everybody. The other half of that group, we are supporting at their job. And that can be simple part-time job as part of what we were talking about earlier in day services, or someone's 40 hours a week on the company's payroll, and we are dropping in only as needed. That's the ideal scenario, is that a company is fully embracing an employee with disabilities as just like any other employee. But we're here to make sure that that goes smoothly and that not only the employee, but the employer has support when they need it.
We'll talk about how you all connect with employers and partner up in a few minutes. But how do you also support the families? Because I know it's not just the individuals, but you kind of go beyond that as well.
Right. That's a great question. It kind of goes hand in hand with this with supporting the person. Obviously, more often than not, people with disabilities are going to have family members that are very involved. And we're there just to really help empower that person with disabilities to sort of make their own decisions and live meaningful lives. But on top of that, we are supporting the families in a variety of ways. That may be financially. We have a variety of direct financial assistance funds where families who may be experiencing certain crises can get a small amount of money to help with eviction prevention, utility cutoff prevention, medical supplies, you name it. We also have parent support groups for dads, for moms of older kids and younger kids. And then we also have a sibling support group for younger siblings of children with disabilities. And then on top of that, we have an outreach team that is helping to match families with resources, to get them connected with other families, and really to help empower families so that they can keep their family unit intact and strong. One of the things that we hear often, because we're in the thick of it now, is that families who have children, adult or young children with disabilities, are experiencing financial hardships because more often than not, one of the parents or the parent can't maintain a job because they're taking care of the medical concerns for their children. They're being called into school. They have additional meetings. So now during the holidays, we have our big adopt a family drive where we've been able to fully adopt 35 families with corporate friends and then just general donors and friends of the ARC. And then we're having a big holiday shopping experience this Saturday for families that weren't adopted. So it's little ways like that that we help the families in our network stay strong and be there for their children, which is the most important thing.
I imagine there's someone listening right now who had never considered the ARC Baltimore or is just realizing with everything that you do, wait, boy, this is serendipity. We are somebody that could benefit from your services. So how do they get in touch? How do you connect with everybody you help out?
That's a great question. So there's a variety of ways. We have a small outreach team that we get calls from people that are just leaving the hospital. They just had a child with a disability and they're saying, I don't know what to do. And maybe a social worker at the hospital has referred them to us. All the way up to elderly parents that say, we can't support our adult child in our home. What do we do? So our outreach team is available. If you call 410-296-2272, ask for outreach or contact us at thearcbaltimore.org, thearcbaltimore.org, and just say, I need help. And we even have a need help ? Button on our website. So if people need assistance, we're there in a variety of ways. So, and it can be financial assistance, it can be resources, it can be services. Getting services in the disability world can be cumbersome and difficult. So we're there to help navigate that process.
This is incredible. Yeah. So with employment opportunities, you mentioned that. What programs are available to those who have disabilities and are looking for employment?
Good morning. As far as employment, we, like you said, we have a wide range of services available. We have our Career Catalyst program, which is a 16-week mobile program, and so they focus on job readiness soft skills. So they have classroom time in the morning, roughly for about 2 hours for maybe the first week or two, and then after that, they are actually interning in businesses. The goal is to get them hired in those businesses. If not, at least help them develop skills that they can transfer elsewhere. And then we have our Project Search program, which is sort of like Career Catalyst, except it is a 10-month program. And that program actually happens in three area hospitals, University of Maryland, Union Memorial, and Northwest. So that program runs like a school year. Again, they have classroom time in the morning, but then over that 10 months, they do three 10-week rotations throughout the hospital, again, to kind of find out what they like, what they're good at, maybe what they need, what skills they need to enhance to, you know, transfer into another job. The goal is to hopefully have them hired in the hospital if a position is available. But if not, then again, they have transferable skills. And so they would work with the job developers and the coaches in those programs to get placed. And if not, then they're referred over to business services to work with my team, where we are working one-on-one with them to develop resumes, to help sharpen some of the skills they may have already learned. But our focus is direct hire and competitive employment. So we are going through the interview process. We are talking to employers. We are networking on their behalf to create those opportunities.
Are you giving, you must be giving families the opportunity to see their kids grow and be employed maybe in a way that they never thought was possible?
Absolutely. I think one of the greatest feelings is when we're working with somebody and maybe the family did, or even the individuals themselves did not really recognize those possibilities, but really getting to know that person and observing their skills and saying, hey, you know, you're good at organizing. Maybe that's something a business needs. And so when we're going in and we are looking at businesses and analyzing some of their processes, a lot of times we are able to find opportunities that maybe the business owner didn't even think about. And so it's like that aha moment for the individual and the family.
There's also an element of diversity and inclusion that the employers can celebrate, right?
Absolutely. And I think now most companies have a push for diversity and inclusion, but it's really getting the employees to understand that it is more than just saying, hey, I'm going to hire somebody with a disability because it feels good. What we want them to see is we want you to hire the person, not because they have a disability, but this person has a skill set that is going to add real value to their company, and have them included in that, not tucked off in a corner like it used to be years ago. Now, if you go into a business where we've had people employed, a lot of times you won't know the difference between the person we support and anyone else. And that is the goal.
Wow. Yeah,
I would say also it's fantastic. We have a huge push for diversity and inclusion at this time in our lives. And a lot of people are really thinking of hiring of people of color in the LGBTQ community. And it's not a checkbox. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that this is one more barrier to employment when people are thinking of hiring people with disabilities. We're really acting as a parallel, we're a bridge to employment. We're letting them really advocate for themselves and show off their skills. Yes. We just need to get the door open, really, and have those discussions.
And what kind of employers are you working with? I mean, you can name them by name because they're doing some good work out there.
Sure. Like I said, we have the Project Search program, so we do have people employed at Northwest, University of Maryland, and Union Memorial. We have people employed at Stella Maris, Menzies Aviation at BWI Airport. It really varies because it is truly based on that person's skill set and the need of the business. We have people working at companies like Maryland Brand. We have a young lady that started as an intern and they hired her. Well, her passion is art. And so they've taken one of her drawings and they've put it on a T-shirt. So they're going to be producing her artwork on one of their shirts. So, again, it really varies. It is very, very individualized.
I feel like in the news we keep hearing about more and more kids being born with disabilities. Are you expecting a growth for the ARC, or are you worried about that at all?
Not so much worried about a growth of people with disabilities, but more a worry about the ability to support them from a funding standpoint. Maryland is behind in being able to provide direct services to all the people with disabilities in the state. There's a pretty large waiting list, and that's within our world pretty well known and a frustrating point. But I think my worry more is about, can we support all of these people? Now, we do have a very large elderly population that when services started back for us in late 40s, early 50s, a lot of those the boomer population, the 50s and 60s are all starting to pass away. And we have a huge influx of what we call transitioning youth. There's a big initiative to make sure that they're working. But another piece of Maryland is we're an employment first state. So getting young students who are in special education services that may not be diploma bound, thinking that I'm going to work, it's understood that I'm going to work, and that I need to be prepared for the workforce when that time comes. So I think we're already at a good place and really helping to sort of change the narrative about people with disabilities, and that even if someone has pretty significant support needs, that there may be a job out for them. Now, it's not employment only, but they want people to think about employment first when they're leaving school. And that's, I think, what's important. I think that sort of changes the way people think about what their adulthood looks like.
There might be some employers listening today who may have considered for the first time that they might be able to partner with you all and hire from the ARC Baltimore some of your students who have gone through your work programs, what do they need to know?
For us, they really need to know that, again, it is individualized. It is not charity. And that the people that we support, some have very unique skill sets, again, that can add value to their bottom line. So I always use the example of a law office when I talk to people. If you have attorneys making $200 an hour, their time is better spent dedicated to their clients as opposed to scanning documents and general office things. And the people that we support, a lot of them have those skills where they can use dual monitors to scan and archive legal documents. We've had people doing it for years. And again, I think sometimes, as Chris was saying, that maybe some of the people we support are not diploma on a diploma track, and sometimes that can be a barrier to employment. So looking at the job itself to say, hey, does this person really need a diploma to be able to do this job? Or are we more worried about the skills that the person has? Mm-hmm. And so talking to those employers to say, you know, well, you have maybe a custodial position. Why is it necessary for them to have a diploma? Isn't it more important that they are mixing the proper chemicals and getting the job done?
You mentioned that sometimes you helped employers realize that they could use help in a way that they hadn't considered before.
Yes.
The law firm may be an example, but are there other examples of businesses that you've said, hey, here's a great fit for you?
Sure. We've had a very strong relationship with Stella Maris over the past few years. And with the people that we've, with the employees that we've provided to them, they've been able to do a wide range of things, some jobs that have already existed. But even looking at their process, one of their directors reached out and said, you know, we realize that our common area is not being kept up to the same standards. Is there something we can do? So they actually created a position which turned into two part-time positions. But once you develop that relationship and they see the value, some employees are really able to look and say, hey, you know, maybe we can do this, or this is a need, and vice versa.
If you're not the family member of someone with special needs or an employer, what are some options for helping the ARC?
There are a variety of ways. So obviously, we're always seeking donations. I mean, that goes without saying. But the cool thing that we offer about online donations is that you can designate your donation to a particular program. So if you feel strongly about one of our internship programs or the family fund that we referenced that's helping families in crisis, you can designate it directly to that. We're unique in that our volunteer opportunities typically require some level of commitment. We don't have a lot of opportunities where someone can come in for an hour and they are, can't think of an example, but we don't have that type of volunteer. It's typically something where someone is spending time with someone with a disability that might be a neighbor, or they're doing we have an internship at one of our administrative office. So these are ways. One cool thing is we've had a number of relationships with some of the CCBC programs where social work interns have come in and interned at our day centers or working at people's homes in preparation for a career in this field. And we've got a lot of people from those internship programs. So these are definitely ways that people can support us.
We're talking with our friends from the ARC Baltimore, which is doing a lot to employ individuals with disabilities. Mm-hmm. And Kim, you mentioned the training program and 2 hours of training every morning and mm-hmm. soft skills. Can you talk about that and the benefits of it?
Sure. I think it makes them definitely more well-rounded when they have that classroom time. They are talking about everything from current events. So you may walk into one of the classrooms and they may be talking about everything that is going on around the world. Then they'll talk about things like how to conduct yourself in an interview, what's appropriate to wear in an interview, the types of questions that you want to ask in an interview. And just general office etiquette, the things that you do and don't do, the types of conversations that you have, and it allows them to engage. They do a little bit of math. They work on some basic reading skills just to, again, enhance the skills that they already have.
If a student comes to you with a specific passion, I know that you mentioned one of your students liked art. Can you try to find a job that suits them or will make them happy?
Yes, that is the goal, because we are a person-centered organization. And so we understand that we can't just have a standard job. So we look at what they want to do, the skills that they have, and we pursue opportunities in that field. Sometimes we do have to have very real conversations with the person and the family to say, you know, maybe that is a long-term goal, and set them up for that. And I'll use an example of a young lady I was working with in the past who is legally blind. Her passion was childcare. And every opportunity that we talked about, she said, she flat out told me, no, that is not what she wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Well, the problem was when she came out of high school, she did another program at CCBC, which a lot of the transitioning youth participate in, and called Single Step. So when she was there, her focus was childcare. She was able to obtain her 90-hour childcare certificate, but it had been maybe 7 years since she had done her internship. And I was able to get her an internship at St. Paul's School for Boys and Girls. They have a daycare. And it was an unpaid internship. And I kept telling her, I said, just trust the process. We need to get you some current, relevant experience in childcare, because we had a lot of pushback. And now she has been with Kennedy Krieger in their packed daycare for over a year now.
Wow.
And she can't be happier. And again, she is visually impaired. And they looked at the skills that she has. She has a lot of built-in natural supports, which is important on the job site, because we do provide coaching, but as Chris said, the goal is for them to be independent, so the coaches fade out. And that natural support is just co-workers that are there. If she needs help with something, being able to assist her the same way any of us, if we were at work and we needed help, we would ask a co-worker. Mm-hmm. So just making sure that she has that continued support. But again, she's been there for a year and a half, and she couldn't be happier. And that was her dream job.
That's awesome.
It truly seems like this is life-changing, life-improving. I mean, things that you really can't get anywhere else.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I do want to mention that we are a resource in terms of what Kim had mentioned about the young woman with a vision impairment. We are here to make things accessible. You don't have to rearrange your office. We can come out and show you how to make things a little bit more ADA compliant. It's really about meeting people where they are in terms of their physical or developmental disabilities, mm-hmm. and making that workspace comfortable for them to best be able to do their job. And we're glad to come out and speak with employers about that.
And just to Leah's point, I know when we talk to employers, especially employers that don't have a lot of experience employing people with disabilities, they hear accommodations and they shy away. An accommodation can be something as simple as a checklist for a person to know what their normal flow in the day can be. It doesn't have to be where they have to go out and invest a whole bunch of money in equipment. And even if they did, the good thing is we partner with DOORS, Department of Rehabilitation Services. So a lot of times if someone is referred or accepted into DOORS, if they need an accommodation, DOORS will help cover the cost of that accommodation. So it is not a cost that the employer necessarily has to absorb. It's just, I think in the past, they've looked at accommodations and thought it was this big elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. And it's not. Sometimes accommodations are very, very simple.
And if I could piggyback off that, we do a lot to educate the employer, period, to make a lot of these employees thrive. I mean, I think they thrive on their own, but making sure that the employer is aware of their talent and their skills and sort of assuage some of those fears that Kim mentioned, that's half the job and half the battle with getting people with disabilities employed. And talking to them about accommodations and how simple they can be, but also that they are not going to have to pull other staff because they're thinking, oh, now I have my other staff over here working with the new employee that we just hired, and that's pulling them off their job. That's the last thing we want. That's why we come in with job coaches sort of discreetly and support people from the jump. So during the interview process, learning the job, and then slowly sort of discreetly backing out and coming in when as needed. So that's where the ARC plays the biggest role.
So you'd love to hear from some employers, right?
Absolutely.
How can they get in touch with you?
Sure. They can reach me directly in my office at 443-279-3450 or thearcbaltimore.org. Hire our workforce.
Mm-hmm. And if they go, they'll see a Hire Our Workforce button directly at the top of the website, and it'll list all the different options for employment, from hosting an intern to hiring an individual, or potentially starting up a contract with the ARC. But our goal really is to hire one person on your company payroll and then grow from there.
Lots of opportunities to help people with intellectual disabilities through the ARC Baltimore. Thank you all for all your efforts, and hopefully we'll make some new connections today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.